This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the February 1st, 2013 podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Spine. My name is Natalie Pinsham, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. Topics covered in this week's podcast are the lumbar spine and the cervical spine. Curve progression after decompression surgery in patients with mild degenerative scoliosis. A clinical article by Naobumi Hosogane and colleagues. There are several surgical options for patients with degenerative lumbar scoliosis, ranging from decompression to extensive corrective fusion. Decompression alone can be an option for patients with mild degenerative lumbar scoliosis, but it sometimes fails due to postoperative curve progression. In this study, the authors evaluated curve progression after decompression surgery in patients who had mild degenerative lumbar scoliosis with canal stenosis to reveal risk factors for postoperative curve progression. They excluded patients with intolerable back pain due to trunk imbalance of more than 5 cm, a large curve of more than 40 degrees, or foraminal stenosis due to lumbar curvature. The results showed that curve progression after decompression was comparable to the previously reported natural course of degenerative lumbar scoliosis. The authors evaluated potential risk factors for curve progression, comparing the group of patients whose curve progressed more than 5 degrees with those whose curve progressed 5 degrees or less. No variable reached statistical significance with respect to the risk of postoperative curve progression. Only 10% of the patients underwent revision surgery, and none of them required reconstructive surgery. Clinical outcomes at the final follow-up were comparable in the two groups. The authors concluded that properly selected patients with degenerative lumbar scoliosis who have canal stenosis as their principal pathology can be treated with less invasive surgery, and spinal correction and fusion is not always necessary in this patient population. Twelve-month results of a clinical pilot study utilizing pedicle lengthening osteotomy for the treatment of lumbar spinal stenosis. A clinical article by Sergei Mjavik and co-authors. Lumbar spinal stenosis has traditionally been treated by open laminectomy, a new, minimally invasive technique for treating lumbar stenosis is the pedicle lengthening osteotomy procedure. In this technique, the pedicles are cut bilaterally and lengthened to expand the spinal canal. The current study presents the results of a prospective pilot study utilizing this technique in 19 patients. The mean age of patients was 60.9 years. All had leg-dominant symptoms of neurogenic claudication secondary to lumbar stenosis and had a previous minimum 6-month course of non-operative treatment which had been unsuccessful. 11 patients had coexisting degenerative spondylolisthesis. Clinical outcomes were evaluated using the Oswestry Disability Index, Zurich Claudication Questionnaire, 12-item short form health survey, and a visual analog scale. Spinal imaging was performed, including plain radiographs and CT scans. All of the clinical outcome instruments demonstrated a significant mean improvement between the preoperative and 12-month postoperative time periods. No intraoperative complications, new neurological deficits, or dural lacerations were encountered. CT scans documented a mean increase in the cross-sectional area of the spinal canal of 115% at the site of the worst stenosis. The pedicle osteotomy sites were found to be healed, according to CT scans, at the 6-month postoperative time point. Accuracy and complications associated with a freehand C1 lateral mass screw fixation technique. A radiographic and clinical assessment. A clinical article by Yong Hu and co-workers. The C1 spinal level has become an increasingly common anchor point when treating occipitocervical and atlantoaxial spinal pathology from a posterior approach. This study focused on perioperative complications of C1 instrumentation, namely screw malposition, vertebral artery injury, and neurological injury. In the author series of 390 screws placed in 196 patients with differing diagnoses, postoperative computed tomography imaging showed that 7 screws erred medially into the spinal canal. 2 patients underwent revision surgery to remove a medially placed screw. No medial screws resulted in symptoms, possibly because of the capaciousness of the spinal canal at C1, allowing the spinal cord to escape from pressure when an inadvertent medial screw is placed. According to the author's experience, C1 LMS spinal canal perforation is less likely to cause injury than transverse foramen perforation directed laterally because of the large space available for the cord, while the vertebral artery is fixed in the osseous foramen at the craniovertebral junction. Overall, 97% of screws were rated as safe, and 85.5% of screws were rated as being ideal or perfectly placed within the bone. With attentive preoperative planning, careful assessment of diagnostic imaging, and meticulous surgical technique, posterior C1 screw fixation can be both safe and accurate. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes to access all our podcasts and videos, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.